Hi, thank you for joining, and welcome to today's presentation on integrating nature into social work through an eco-social approach. My name is Rebecca Conway. I am a social worker and doctoral researcher, currently completing a PhD at Bielefeld University in Germany. So before we start today's presentation, I just wanted to introduce myself a little bit more. I am originally from Dublin in Ireland. And I have a Bachelor of Social Science with a specialisation in social work and also a Master's of Applied Social Work. I do have some social work practice history in a diverse area of social work practice, such as statutory child protection, community-based mental health, and also community development. And I've recently been a Marie Curie Fellow as part of the ASTRA project. And in the ASTRA project, we were applying sustainability transition research into social work to tackle the major societal challenges of social inclusion. So the aim of today's presentation is firstly to introduce the eco-social approach in social work and also discuss the possibilities of incorporating nature and the natural environment into social work practice and research. Finally, to transform concepts and theories into practical examples to help you incorporate nature into your current and future social work roles from an eco-social work lens. So it'll be really helpful throughout this presentation if you thought about your own social work history or future social work roles, but also maybe from your background, your studies in social work, and just to really think about the concepts that I'm introducing and how these might apply to your current or future roles. So the agenda, first we will discuss the current context, then we will move on to the evolution of eco-social work. Then we will really discuss eco-social work in action, both from a practice and research perspective. We will also have a summary at the end of the presentation. And at the very end, I will introduce an imagination exercise. And that's really just a chance for you to further embed these concepts into your own practice or research or education, whatever stage of social work you're at. So, first of all, the current context. Why do we need an eco-social transformation in social work? So, the current situation is that we are facing multiple crises, crises such as climate change, deforestation, biodiversity loss, species extinction, and so on. And each of these crises have devastating impacts on both people and the natural environment, such as increasing global temperature, the average global temperature, increasing wildfires, increasing the frequency of extreme weather events, and also many people are now facing food insecurity as a byproduct or as a result of these crises. Some of these crises also, such as climate change, are crisis multipliers, which means they can lead to or exacerbate conflict. And what we know now is that many of these crises, especially environmental and ecological crises, are plutocratic, which means they are caused by the richest people in the world and their actions. So the overconsumption, endless economic growth, and increased concentration of greenhouse gases. And the extraction of natural resources, for the pursuit of economic growth have long-lasting impacts. Particularly on vulnerable communities worldwide. And they also have severe damage to ecosystems. They cause severe damage to ecosystems. There's a very interesting Oxfam report from 2023, Climate Equality, A Planet for the 99%. This QR code takes you to the website that is related to it called Make Rich Polluters Pay. And it's just a really helpful website to think about the idea that it really is the top 10% and even the top 1% of the world's richest people who are responsible for the majority of these greenhouse gas emissions. It's also the biggest corporations and countries that are destroying the world and with their huge carbon emissions. Meanwhile, people in communities living in poverty and those experiencing marginalization, and also countries in the global south, are often those who are impacted the hardest, fastest, and worst by these environmental and ecological disasters. The consequences of this climate breakdown are felt in all parts of the world and also by most people, but only really the richest people in countries have the wealth, power, and influence to protect themselves. Therefore, they have a huge responsibility. So, why is this relevant for social work? Well, as we just said, environmental degradation disproportionately affects those in marginalized, precarious, or poor situations, and they are the people with whom social work most often supports or works with. So, communities such as Black, Indigenous, and people of colour, older people, women, the LGBTQI plus community, and people in living in rural areas. These crises also directly increase the social, emotional, economic, and environmental challenges of people, communities, and the natural world. It's therefore a matter of social, economic, environmental, and ecological justice, and this directly links to the values, ethics, and skill sets of the social work profession. Social workers are not only well placed and have the correct skills, but we're also mandated to advocate for people and the natural environment and to support communities to build resilience and hopefulness in the face of these multiple crises. There is a growing demand for social work to actively engage in sustainability discourse, and research on the environment and social work has shown a clear connection between climate change and the impact on marginalized communities. It's therefore critical for social workers to incorporate knowledge of the natural environment into our work, education, practice, research, and to play a major role in the sustainability transition to tackle the impacts of climate change and other ecological disasters. So, how can social work help and how did it evolve? So, the evolution of eco-social work really began with a person and environment perspective in the early 20th century. I do want to preface that I'm speaking from a limited global north perspective, and I acknowledge that many other countries and communities of practice have been practicing more sustainable or ecologically centered social work under different names throughout this timescale that we will discuss. And also, Indigenous and marginalized groups have knowledge not equally reflected in the literature and social work literature. Indigenous peoples and other social workers before the professionalisation of social work have also been practicing from an eco-social work perspective. But today we are focusing on this from a kind of a European global north perspective because that's my own situation. So, yeah, as I said, since the professionalisation of social work has traditionally focused on the person in environment perspective. It then moved on in the 1950s and 60s with the introduction of systems theory. Then in the 1970s, we started focusing a little bit on the ecosystems, ecological systems theory, and deep ecology also had a bit of an influence in the 1970s on social work. Between the 1970s and 1990s, ecofeminism and also eco-spiritual social work had a big impact, but it was still quite on the margins of mainstream social work. And at the beginning of the 21st century, eco-social work came to be named in English literature, English-speaking literature within social work, alongside various other forms of ecologically, environmentally centered social work, such as environmental social work, green social work, ecological social work, and sustainable social work. So, although there are many different overlapping names, each have a slight variation. So I have included references here if you do want to go and read a little bit further about each approach and the differences between them. But today we're really focusing on eco-social work. So with the concept of leaving no one behind, the eco-social approach in social work offers a transformative way for social work to tackle environmental threats to human well-being. It combines social and ecological perspectives and emphasizes a holistic and interdependent view of humans and the more than human natural world, as we are embedded in the natural world. And the focus is really on improved well-being. It's a shift from anthropocentric or egocentric views to more ecocentric. It really values social and ecological justice, community-based social work, and also anti-oppressive practice by questioning structural inequalities. It has been useful in combating social exclusion through diverse living environments and to remain a relevant and useful profession in this changing world, and also to fulfill the social work mission, we must understand the relationship between ecosystems and humanity, and the interdependence between human well-being and a healthy non-human environment. So now we will discuss eco-social work in action, methods for practice. So this is talking about eco-social work in social work practice. So the practical application of the eco-social approach in social work is quite limited. Practice often reverts to prioritizing human interests over ecological ones. And the eco-social work approach broadens the focus from the immediate concerns, such as housing, health, child protection, and poverty, to the broader systemic structural causes of these issues and their connection to the natural environment. So, how can we promote sustainability of the natural environment and the human environment, to address disproportionate impacts of environmental disasters and environmental decline? Through the eco-social approach, we can recognize nature's innate value, and this is critical for social workers to incorporate the natural elements into interventions and to show service users the restorative benefits of nature. The health and well-being of service users can be improved by incorporating the natural environment into our social work practice. Eco-social methods combine economic, social, and ecological perspectives towards addressing planetary well-being and sustainable community development. So there really is a need at the moment to translate this more theoretical advancements in eco-social work or also other environmental social work practices into tangible actions and interventions that are effectively addressing environmental and ecological justice concerns within social work. So just some examples of eco-social work in practice. This is a bit of a long list, so I won't read all of them. But examples such as environmental and ecological activism, community mobilizing, decolonizing social work, partnering with Indigenous experts, educating communities on adaptation techniques, engaging in structural social work, community development such as community gardens, and also nature-based interventions, which we'll go into a little bit further when we discuss my research. That's my PhD focuses on nature-based interventions. So using Heather Boedo's model of a transformative eco-social work, I wanted to break down social work practice into micro, meso, and macro level, and discuss at each of these levels ways that we could incorporate eco-social work into social work practice. So, first of all, from an engagement perspective, the first thing we're doing as social workers is engaging with the service user. And ways that we could incorporate nature into this stage of our social work intervention, is increasing contact with the natural environment and subtly promoting sustainability. So, simple observations of nature and also having direct contact with nature, is a really good way to improve the overall therapeutic process. Also, through the assessment phase, so we as social workers can investigate current levels of nature connectedness between the service user, community, families that we're working with. We can also explore the structural factors that these people that we're working with are experiencing that could be associated with global warming and environmental disasters and decline. We can include environmental considerations in our assessments. And these are really helpful ways to acknowledge not only the negative impact that the natural environment and decline is having on service users, but it's also a helpful way to acknowledge positive impacts that the natural environment is maybe having on the health of the service user that we're working with. Usually, after the assessment phase, we would move on to developing some kind of intervention for the people that we're working with. So here it's useful to think about how can the natural environment complement existing techniques and to enhance the therapeutic process. How can we as social workers incorporate the natural environment as part of our day-to-day practice? And how can we consider individual and family issues that are caused by structural dimensions of environmental decline? So, are the people that we're working with experiencing any degradation or hardships, such as energy poverty, home heating, food insecurity that we mentioned earlier? And how could we develop an intervention that really incorporates the natural environment, such as nature-based interventions, mindfulness walking, maybe some wilderness therapy or animal-assisted therapy? And finally, the evaluation stage. So this is a really critical part in the social work micro-level practice. So it's looking back on the interventions that we may have implemented to see whether it's really working for the people that we are supporting. So it's about reviewing the impact of the intervention and also celebrating achievements. So we could look here at whether contact with the natural environment increased thanks to the intervention that we provided. What feedback have the individual or family given us about this intervention? And are there further intervention opportunities? So it's a really helpful way of promoting sustainability and empowerment of people who might be at risk. Meso-level practice. So this is quite a tricky area sometimes. Social workers are faced with competing principles within organizations that can constrain or compromise their ability to practice from an eco-social work perspective. So one really important way that social workers can practice eco-social work at this meso-level practice within their organization is maybe trying to influence managers and colleagues to address the challenges and create opportunities to implement eco-social work strategies. It's also a really useful level of practice to connect individuals and families in the form of group work. And these people might connect over a shared experience in relation to the natural environment and sustainability. So it could be a local group, community group who are maybe housed in floodlands and are experiencing health concerns or housing concerns due to that. It could also be maybe an education support group, and that could be focusing on increasing sustainability knowledge. Also, we have macro level practice, and this is what I was discussing earlier, more of like a structural change. So this promotes change at the community, research, or policy level of practice to address the structural issues associated with global warming, environmental disasters, and decline. So examples of this could be individual and collective action, systems change, community organizing. And this level of practice, although it's not the level of practice that people immediately think of when they think of social work, I think a lot of the time we think of micro-level practice working with individuals and families. But this macro level of practice really has far-reaching impacts on large sections of people in our community. So it is a really useful way of addressing the systemic problems that cause this ecological degradation and also the damages to humans. So, as I said earlier, we would discuss nature-based interventions a little bit more in depth. This is the area of this is the area of social work that I am focusing on in my research. And I think it's a really useful kind of tangible way to see how we could incorporate nature into social work. So, nature-based interventions are goal-based activities that are carried out within the natural environment that maintain and improve human well-being and quality of life. So these activities might happen in rural and agricultural environments, forests, mountains, gardens, urban parks, but also in water, so rivers, seas, lakes. And these nature-based interventions relate to various disciplines such as youth work, community development, health promotion, psychotherapy, health promotion, health prevention, and also social work. And nature-based interventions are a really helpful example of eco-social work in action that have been useful and have proven helpful to address social well-being and health outcomes, not only for humans, but also for the natural environment. So some of the possible benefits of nature-based interventions that are evidenced in the research currently are illness prevention, stress reduction, improvements in physical, mental, social, emotional, or spiritual health and well-being, increasing self-esteem, enhancing social inclusion, supporting rehabilitation, and also improving well the welfare and well-being of the non-human animal collaborators in nature-based interventions, such as those in animal-assisted interventions. But despite many of these known benefits, it is also important for us to be mindful and sensitive to the needs of the people that we work with. Some people might have allergies or anxiety induced by being in nature. For some people, they have had a very urban way of living, and the wilderness might seem frightening. It's also important to assess the person's emotional state and history with the natural environment in order to develop the most appropriate nature-based intervention that would actually enhance their well-being and not to create further anxiety or discomfort. So we can start slow and slowly increase interaction with the natural environment. But as I said earlier, that evaluation phase in micro-level practice is really important, especially if we are starting to introduce nature a bit more into our social work micro-level practice. Just taking time to look back, evaluate, discuss with the person whether they're finding it useful, and tweaking our interventions based on the feedback that we're receiving. So next, we will discuss eco-social work in terms of research. So eco-social work research is a vibrant and changing research field, and it covers several environmental social work labels and diverse topics. And these are the labels that I mentioned earlier in the timeline of eco-social work. So eco-social work evolved alongside environmental social work, green social work, eco-spiritual social work, that I mentioned earlier. It is a field that is both marginalized and growing exponentially. So it is still very firmly on the fringe of mainstream social work research. But in the last 20 years, the growth of literature, published literature on the topic, is really growing quite fast. It's really vital to have this eco-social work research in order to affect policy and to help it further enter mainstream social work practice as evidence-based practice. There are calls for further research to explore more in depth some aspects of eco-social work, mainly the practical application and realities of eco-social work in practice, the application of eco-social work at policy, research, and management levels. Also, the possibilities of an eco-centric approach, given the anthropocentric tradition of social work. Social work has traditionally focused really on humans at the center. So, what are the possibilities if we shift this to a more eco-centric perspective and approach? Further research is also called to look at the implications for social work practitioners who are attempting to implement an eco-social approach to practice. What barriers they're facing, what possibilities there could be to enhance this in the future. And also, as it is quite a new area of social work research, we're really lacking some longitudinal research on the integration of community and structural-based interventions in eco-social work practice. And as I mentioned earlier, with my kind of global north perspective, I think there's a huge gap and a real need for a more global eco-social work perspective in eco-social work literature. So next, I wanted to just introduce my research a little bit more. As I said, I'm a doctoral researcher at Bielefeld University in Germany. And the topic of my doctoral research is exploring nature-based interventions aimed at supporting young people in precarious situations in Ireland. So this is an exploratory qualitative research project, and I'm looking at multiple case studies. The data collection included 8 semi-structured personal interviews and 41 hours of participant observations of young people who were engaging in nature-based interventions. The young people included in this research were aged between 15 and 29 years old, and they had self-identified as currently or having previously faced a precarious situation. And that could include anything from experiencing homelessness, having a disability of some kind, or being a carer, for example, having care responsibilities, or being an early school leaver. So it was quite a broad umbrella term that the precarious situation covered. And also, these young people were currently or had previously been engaged in a nature-based intervention in Ireland. The theoretical underpinnings for my research was, of course, the eco-social approach, but also the capability approach. And this really helped me to kind of explore how nature-based interventions could enhance the skills and opportunities and capabilities of the young people engaged in this research. And I analyze the data through a reflexive thematic analysis. So these were my research questions. What can young people engaged in nature-based interventions gain from the natural element from their perspective? Second research question is, how can nature-based interventions contribute to young people in precarious situations to lead flourishing and fulfilling lives? And finally, what can nature-based interventions offer for the social inclusion of young people in precarious situations? So, as I mentioned earlier, this is a multiple case study. So, I have two cases here, and these were organized in terms of the type of program that they offer, meaning that the data was collected and analyzed from four programs across two categories of nature-based interventions in Ireland. So, the first case explores outdoor-based personal development programs. And within this case, I researched within three organizations in Ireland, three nature-based interventions who provide outdoor-based personal development programs. And these really offered quite a diverse range of outdoor-based program activities, such as rock climbing, bushcraft, kayaking, camping, and hiking expeditions. And in this case, I conducted seven personal interviews, one-to-one, with young people engaged in the program. But I also went along and took part within 9 hours of these activities. And I was really an observer as participant. So I went along and took part as the young people took part alongside them, just to experience what they really were, what their experiences were in the program. The second case was an equine-assisted service. And this was just one organization providing an animal-assisted intervention. They provided things like horse handling and grooming, yard work, and also some theoretical learning modules for young people with a disability to gain a professional qualification in horse work. And that kind of enabled them to get a professional qualification to work in the future with horses. So, within this case study, I conducted 32 hours of participant observations. Similar to the previous case, I took part as if I was a participant alongside them and took part in the different lessons and classes and more of the physical work also that they were conducting in this equine assisted service. And I did also conduct one interview with one of the young people who was involved. Just briefly, some of the results that came out of this research. Three different themes surfaced. The first is that the young people reported an enhanced nature connectedness through their engagement with the nature-based intervention. So the young people felt that the natural element of the nature-based intervention provided an opportunity for enhanced nature connectedness. And this can benefit their physical and mental health, personal growth, purpose in life, and their self and social connection. The second theme was the enhanced formation of meaningful relationships through the nature-based intervention. So the young people reported an increased capability to form meaningful relationships through building trust, reciprocity, respect, and affiliation to others. And this can have a positive impact on their self-worth, sense of belonging, mental health, and purpose in life. And the final theme that was uncovered is development of skills. So the young people reported an increase in technical and also democratic skills, which can improve their ability to gain meaningful employment, which would enhance their social inclusion and their possibility to become empowered, engaged citizens. So just to summarize the presentation so far, as we said, there are current socio-ecological crises that disproportionately affect marginalized people fastest and worst. Therefore, social workers must adapt and respond by incorporating knowledge of the natural environment into our work and to play a major role in the sustainability transition. To do this, we can use the eco-social approach alongside other environmental approaches, which have evolved in the 21st century, to view social and environmental problems from a holistic, eco-centric perspective. And this emphasizes the reciprocal relationship between the well-being of humans and the rest of nature. Eco-social work is a vibrant, diverse, and growing field of practice and research that can have major impacts on large sections of people in our community and policymaking, and also on the more than human natural world. And nature really can be centered in social work practice and research by recognizing its innate value and also the reciprocal benefits for humans and more than humans. So we will end today just by reflecting on this question. We'll do this through an imagination exercise. This is inspired by Rob Hopkins. He's an environmentalist, an author, a researcher, and he started the Transition Town movement. So really, through this exercise, I would like you not to be constrained by your current thinking. I want you to really activate your future thinking muscles and think about big ideas here. So the question that we're going to focus on in this exercise is, what if the future of social work was eco-social? So in this exercise, I want you to think about the future of our community members, human and more than human, the future of social issues, of ecological issues, the future of social movements, of social welfare, the future of racism and other isms and inequalities, and also the future of the social work profession. So with that in mind, I invite you to get comfortable, sit in a relaxed position, and breathe deeply. We will close our eyes just for a few minutes. So I do invite you to close your eyes. And what you're going to do now is to turn on the imaginary time machine. Imagine you're in a time traveling machine, and when you get out, you've been transported just 10 years into the future. The world you're arriving into isn't utopia, but it's a world in which we've done absolutely everything we could possibly do, everything that has been done in those 10 years, that the climate change, the science, the urgency demanded of us. We did it. And we did it with compassion and focus, with patience and dedication. Now, this future is not paradise, but it's a future where everything we could have possibly done was done to make the world a better, more equitable place. Over that time, there were cascades of positive change built and multiplied and magnified in a way that 10 years previously felt completely unimaginable. And people in the future will look back at these extraordinary people in this 10-year time period and the bravery and the guts they showed and the imagination and the vision. And they sing great songs and they tell great stories about what happened during that time when everything was reimagined and rebuilt. And there was a huge sense of collective purpose. So when we get to this future, 10 years in the future, I just invite you to take a walk around that world. Use your imagination with all of its senses. What does that world that you're in smell like and feel like and sound like? What do you see around you? What's it like to walk down that street? What does your daily life feel like? What are the children doing? How is your personal and professional time spent? Just allow yourself to walk down those streets, to breathe the air, to soak in the environment, to listen to what you can hear, and to really immerse yourself in that way. So we'll just spend a couple of minutes wandering in that world, thinking about our what if question. What if the future of social work was eco-social? So, keeping your eyes closed, I would just invite you back to the reality of present day, but to bring with you the experience that you had walking around that world 10 years in the future. What did you see there? What did you feel there? What did you experience? And I'm going to leave you with that thought. So just sit with it for a while, see what bubbles up in terms of the what if question. And how could we explore how we might build a bridge from where we are now to where we could be in that future 10-year world? So gently open your eyes. I do encourage you to take note of this question: what if the future of social work was eco-social? And maybe work on it yourself, with colleagues, with peers. But yeah, that is it for today's exercise. Thank you very much. So that wraps up our presentation today. Thank you so much for your energy and attention throughout this presentation. As I said earlier, my name is Rebecca Conway. Here is my contact details. Please feel free to reach out to me if this struck a chord with you or you want to discuss anything further. I'm always open to getting into a conversation with people. Feel free to add me on LinkedIn or email me. And I do have lots of references at the end of this presentation, which you can find in the handout of the slides. So thank you very much for your attention today, and I look forward to hearing from you.